Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The After Party, Harbor's weekly podcast that we follow up with the preacher from every week who gave the sermon. And this week, I'm here with Kelly Tibbetts, who gave a compelling and wonderful conclusion to the story of Esther that we've been in for the past 4 weeks. So, hi, Kelly.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you? It's nice to have you.
It's fun to be here.
Would you mind giving us a 60-second or less summary of the of your message from this week?
Sure. Well, I started where you ended. Great. And so last week we saw that the pivotal moment for Haman and Mordecai, their places in the kingdom kind of were being reversed. And so I finished the story with both the death of Haman, the raising of Mordecai, and God using Esther and Mordecai to protect his people, the Jewish race.
Great.
And so the fun part about the book of Esther is it starts off at the beginning saying this is going to be a story about the king named Xerxes. The book is known as a story about the queen named Esther.
Yes.
But it ends pointing to a man named Mordecai and how he had fought for his people, the protection of his people, and provided leadership for his people. So I think it's fun that all three of them have a key part in it and are named in some way.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so you started off with a good illustration of this idea of life is messy. And I think that's a very easy thing to agree with.
Yeah.
You know, we in our own lives, at Harbor, at work, at in communal and private lives, there is no shortage of messes and difficulty. And you said one indication of that in a personal life is if your car gets messy.
Yeah.
It's usually an indicator of having a past capacity.
Right.
So my question, Kelly, how messy is your car right now?
That's so funny. So the outside is super clean. I went to a great car wash last week and did the full $12 get your car shiny thing.
Beautiful.
The inside, the back seat has a lot of stuff. I do yoga now on Sunday nights. And so my yoga mat's in there. I do 9-round. I'm almost at 300 workouts, which I'm really proud of.
Congratulations.
So my 9-round stuff is in there. I have a ton of winter scarf, gloves, those kind of things. Be really, you know, on top of that part.
Yeah.
So that stuff's all in there. But really the thing that I know is messy is I have to clean the mats and I just haven't. So I would give it like a 6 out of 10 for clean.
I can't say I've ever like more than one time cleaned the mats in my car.
You're going to need to like get it detailed now.
Yeah. So there's a difference between, I think there's a difference between having things in your car that you use regularly for your life than
just they make a mess though.
Yeah.
Even the things in your life that are needed make a mess. Hey, that'll preach. Right?
That will preach. We've been to church today.
There we go.
Well, I have seen you get more excited about the history of Esther than, well, than anyone has about Esther here, and I've just loved seeing that. And something you had mentioned was about Saul. Saul, who had come generations before in Scripture, not even mentioned in the book of Esther, but there's an interesting connection with Saul and Esther.
There
is.
Yeah. So like you, I enjoy like digging a little deeper into the Bible and finding out. Yeah. I would love like a seminary degree someday. I went to Bible college, but then I went off to be a teacher. But when I was starting to really spend some time researching it, the things that I found so interesting were God had told the king named Saul to do something. And that was to like remove from the earth this whole kingdom of the king of the Amalekites. And that's hard. But he had given Saul this job and Saul didn't do it. And so generation after generation, these two, you know, Saul and the king, they both produce nations. And so you get to the place of Esther. And here's Esther from the lineage of Saul. And here's Haman from the lineage of the king of the Amalekites.
Oh, snap.
I know, right? And so there's Esther doing the job that Saul was told to do.
Wow.
And I do wonder, and I don't know how to get there except maybe even looking through like other Jewish sources, but I imagine that in some way the lineage of Mary is connected here. And God is protecting this lineage that Jesus is going to come from. So anyway, Esther was the girl for the job. And by being where she was supposed to be, her and her cousin Mordecai were able to at least eliminate this one line, Haman and his 10 sons.
Sure.
And yeah, I don't think we'll know on this side of heaven why that was asked of King Saul.
I love that picture that Esther was able to complete what Saul could not.
And
or
chose
did
not to, right?
Right. And I think that that just showed, it proved the rest of the book of Esther, which is when she went to do what she was going to do with Xerxes, when she went to approach Xerxes, Mordecai gave her the same advice of like, hey, if it's not you that goes forward, right. God will get it done.
Ooh, that's good.
But he created, he put you here for such a time as this.
Right. So like,
God is going to do what he's going to do.
Yes.
He's going to accomplish it, but you can choose to be part of it or not.
He invites you in, but none of us are needed. When God can create the world by speaking, obviously our time and our money is not needed, but we're invited in to become part of what he's doing. Oh, and that's so exciting.
That's good.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. Hey, party people, I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party. And so God redeems things in unexpected ways.
Absolutely.
And you spoke about a student leader that we have here.
Yeah.
I don't know what legality of mentioning names. But,
sure. We won't mention his name. Yeah, sure.
Whatever. I'm not sure. But he was at a church you were part of years ago.
So were you. Kind of
fun. I was there as well. And yeah, I didn't want to bring myself into it. But I'm there too. You led me. You were my children's pastor.
Yep.
And you were this gentleman's children's pastor.
Right.
And now here we all are.
Right. Getting used here. And I love that he's still back there as well, because I really do believe in the one big C church. Every church is one church.
Yep.
But what was fun is I'm preparing for the sermon, and all of a sudden, a thing that God had done that I had forgotten, he brought back to my mind. And I don't know if that is something that you do as well, but I forget the big things that he has done in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And so here I am getting prepared, you know, to preach a sermon, and I remember, hey, the calendar's turning. It's March. And all of a sudden, I had this memory of looking at March 2012. Like,
oh,
it just probably because I've used these like written calendars are kind of how I run my life.
Sure.
And I was doing the same thing. I was putting a calendar on the wall and the dates in March. And all of a sudden, that was enough to trigger that when God called me here was March 2012. I didn't come until the end of May, and I came for real in August. So I did sort of two part-time jobs that summer. But it was so amazing, because when I went back to that day, the mess that I was in is I didn't want to do this hard thing.
Right.
I had had a couple hard years where if God had called me during those hard years, I would have been like, peace out, see you.
Right.
But now I was back at the place where it was really fun and it was really easy, and I had grown leaders. And we also had that same moment yesterday where a leader here who had poured into a leader was able to step and do the next thing. And that's what I felt like in March 2012. I had had something called Club 456. Which was a chance for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders to come together once a month.
Yeah,
and I was there that night, and I'm looking at all my leaders, and I'm thinking, they don't really need me anymore. And that's what you should feel like.
That's
as a leader, you should pour everything into your people so that at some point they're able to do it on their own. But yeah, I just was sharing in my message that it was very hard to leave. And one of the hardest parts about leaving was this little kid.
Yeah.
Because I knew him before he was born.
Right?
I remember when his mom was pregnant with him. And he just was one of those special kids in my ministry.
Right.
And the thought of leaving him as this little child, I felt very guilty about it.
Sure.
And then his sister was very close to my girls, and she's crying when we're leaving, and my girls are crying when I'm leaving. And then I look and think, if I could have known then that this is what, you know, I don't even know, I can't even count this point, 8 years of faithfulness like looks like.
Yes.
Of course I would have said, okay, I'm going to go, and God will take care of you, and I'll take care of us.
Yeah.
But
well, that's the beauty of, or the hard part of not knowing the future is that it has to be stepped out in faith.
Yeah, and that's what we see with Esther and Mordecai. It's so easy on this side to think, well, she's the queen, so she does have the right to go to the king.
Right.
And that's the big part of the end of Esther, is she has to do something incredibly brave. She has to go to a king who is very temperamental.
Yeah.
And if he just didn't want her there, he could, you know, have her executed just for showing up in his presence. And so she had to really walk in wisdom and be careful and at the same time be brave.
Yeah.
And I think that's what all of us are called to do. It's just really hard to do it.
Yes, it is.
And so, yeah, it was just a really cool moment. And it turned out that that was a day that instead of serving in the back, he was serving from the front and leading worship.
Right.
So it was
people,
kind of this
people
little,
got to see
people
it.
People got to see it. It
was
kind
of
a cool moment. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's so wonderful to look at those moments where you can see God's redemption. And I think there's so many more moments that we just don't get to see.
I know.
But but he's still redeeming all things.
That was what I really realized as I was walking through the sermon, is there wasn't one giant miraculous moment. Mm-hmm. It was small moments of faithfulness over and over again. Right. And then startling things happened, mm-hmm. but they happened not, you know, like we had sung a song, Oceans, earlier in the day mm-hmm. about that incredible moment where Peter steps out of a boat and walks on water. Mm-hmm. And those moments, I think, are so much less common than the small moments of faithfulness over and over again. And then you look back 6 months, a year, 6 years, and you think, wow, I can't believe I moved mm-hmm. from here to here.
Right.
And it was mostly through hard, messy things. And so my big idea for the series was, for this little week anyway, was that God is working in the middle of our mess. He's mm-hmm. like right there in the middle of the mess. Yeah. And he's making all things new. And I mm-hmm. think it's so important to know that, because sometimes theology that's not correct says things like, once you connect with Jesus and he's the Lord of your life, the mess goes away.
Right.
And it's not true. Mm-hmm. And then the mess comes. And so that's why I'm excited about the next series, because I think we're going to dig a little deeper into these things. But yeah, it was a really beautiful morning. It was very powerful.
I love that. And I, if I'm not mistaken, you said you had a bit of a mess.
I did.
Going out on the stage.
I did. So I'm 50. On it? And anyone my age and older generally needs special reading glasses in order to read small things.
I'm 26 and I do as well.
Do you to read the things?
Yeah, okay. These are only reading glasses.
Okay, I didn't even know that. That's so funny. So anyway, so I come out. Normally we have a music stand that we mm-hmm. use.
Yes.
And we had a really great band yesterday that was so big, there were no more music stands. And I didn't realize that until I stepped on stage. And so I just take a stool with me thinking it'll be the same. And it was probably only 6 inches difference between where the music stand.
Also angled.
And
about
angled.
45 different.
Okay. Different. So anyway, I step out, the lights come on, and mm-hmm. I cannot see my sermon. And my brain goes completely blank, like completely blank. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a thing. So mm-hmm. I start by reintroducing myself. And I'd already been introduced.
Right.
And I just... it was just very funny. So I was so nervous through the whole thing mm-hmm. and didn't quite know exactly what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And I could see a little bit of my message, anything that was bold. And there were three bold sentences mm-hmm. that sort of moved me from point A to point B to point C. And even our tech guy, he was so great, but he couldn't move the scripture forward because I wasn't giving the cues.
Oh, right.
So I didn't even have like the scripture to, and it was in me.
Right.
And so I was mm-hmm. able to do like a whole 28-minute message with what was in me. And so this morning I was brave and I listened to it driving
the
here to see.
Listening to yourself.
Oh my gosh, what does it sound like? And I was like, wow, that's a pretty cool sermon, because I think so mm-hmm. much of it was just Jesus speaking through me. It was stuff I hadn't written.
Sure.
And so anyway, it reminded me that if he put me here mm-hmm. to be preaching for such a time as this, he's going to give me the word. He's going to use me. And I hope that even as people hear this podcast, mm-hmm. that he really, truly will meet you in the middle of the mess. Like, go out. When mm-hmm. I think back to those first Bible studies I taught around organizing your car, like such bad theology in there, right? Like so many things, but little tiny bits of truth were shared, and God used what version of me existed mm-hmm. in 2003.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And in that mess, he, mm-hmm. because I really do believe that verse that says like the word of God never returns void.
Yeah.
And so I hope that yesterday people heard me when I said, there's like a word for you here, not mm-hmm. 30 minutes that you're going to remember. Mm-hmm. But I think for all of us to realize that he's going to use you in the middle of your mess.
Yes.
He's not waiting for you to get perfect and be completely accomplished.
Yes.
And that I'm excited to be a female leader in New England mm-hmm. so that I can be one of those examples for women. When I was growing up, it just wasn't something my brain could come up with on its own. Mm-hmm. And even though I shared this before, I had a call to ministry. I didn't have anyone to look to see what that looks like, except for like Joyce Meyer.
Sure.
And I love our church. I think it's so fun that girls and boys growing up in this church are surrounded with examples mm-hmm. of, hey, this is what it looks like to do this, but not this pressure of perfection. Like, we're okay with the mess because we know Jesus here in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's the scriptural example as well. Mm. Obviously, with women in ministry, Esther did so much.
Right.
Esther redeemed big picture things that men were not able to
do. And it's so fun. If you look mm-hmm. into it, Orthodox Jews allow women to read that from
that's so interesting.
In the middle of the
and
synagogue.
And not other things.
Right. But because Esther was such an important part of the story, that is a scripture that women are allowed to read out loud.
Yeah. But even other than women in ministry, scripturally, God uses people in their mess.
Yes.
Like, that people are used by God and then they mess up.
Mm-hmm.
David killed Goliath before he made his mistakes.
Yeah.
Noah obeyed God before he got drunk. Like, mm-hmm. over and over again, these characters in the Bible are used while they are still messy and are seen messing up like crazy afterwards.
It's one of my favorite sermons you preached, that it's a dance.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so hard on myself for the steps backwards. But sometimes that step backwards is necessary for the dance. And it's a step forward and to the side and to the back.
Sure. It just shows God's faithfulness throughout.
Yeah.
So you said no piece of scripture comes back void.
Yeah.
There's one difficult thing if you don't mind addressing it. Well, there's plenty of difficult
things. But in Esther particularly.
There's a moment where as an act of justice, and it's kind of this redeeming moment in the story, but it's kind of hard to swallow now, is when Haman is, and I liked how you put it, sent to the gallows.
Yeah.
And I think scripturally it was, you know, dropped onto a 75-foot spike.
Yeah. Ew.
Along with his 10 sons. All of them were slaughtered. They were brutally killed.
And the worst part is, not the worst part, the whole thing is hard, right? So I was pointing to what happens for those 2 days in the Citadel of Susa and the 1 day, and it's later called the Celebration of Purim, is the Jewish people are by law commanded to basically have a 24-hour purge.
Right.
And it's a movie my family really loves. I can't watch it.
I like the idea of picturing your family watching that.
Yeah, there are movies that they can, and they like the series, not just the first purge. There's a whole series.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm aware of
the series. Are you? Yeah. So basically, that's what's going on, right? It's just like slaughter and carnage. Yeah. And so Haman is killed, ironically, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said last week, this shift in the pendulum. And then his children are already dead when they are then put onto that place.
Oh, that's even more gruesome.
It is so gruesome. Yeah. And there's some stuff in Deuteronomy about the curse that comes upon the person who is hung from the tree. Mm-hmm. And so I know that even though the name of God isn't mentioned in the book of Esther, you have godly men and women who are fasting for God to protect them, who understand the book of Deuteronomy and in fact are saying, like, here is this person who is condemned. But what's so interesting about that very verse is the fact that it points to Jesus.
Right.
And when Jesus was, on the cross, on that tree, condemned for you and me, like taking those sins on. Anyway, it goes all the way around in a circle to that. Mm-hmm. Is that hard? Yeah. It's really hard to look at things like people dying. And is God for that?
Right.
And so what I think is important to remember is back when God made us, when he made people in his image in the garden, he wasn't crafting a plan that later we all slaughter each other.
Right.
But when sin entered the world, God has been redeeming, right? He's not moving us around like puppets. He is moving different pieces for his kingdom to advance. And so I don't think that it's necessary to not read the hard passages. It's important to know that they are hard.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that helped me a lot is I read a book called The Deuteronomy Project.
Okay.
And the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last little bit on earth. And he's trying to help his people understand what he knows about God. And it's just full of all these laws that really get you the heartbeat of God, which is so different than the heartbeat of man.
Oh, certainly.
And so even though there's this incredible slaughter, Mordecai actually does something very incredible. He says, don't take their things. Don't continue this cycle where I kill you and I take all your stuff and then your grandchildren come and you kill my grandchildren and we take all your stuff. But it is hard. I don't have an easy answer. My little positivity brain wants to be like, I know God had used it and I know he did.
I know he used it. I don't expect you to answer it.
But it's really, really hard.
Fully.
Yeah. It's hard to look really at things like that and reconcile it to the God we know who is so good.
Right. Right. And by these men, these men, maybe children, we don't know their ages, but by these kids, these sons being slaughtered, it ended the line, which you had mentioned
this
before.
This line.
It ended this line of evil that had always been evil. And so maybe the murder itself was not
but
good.
If you go back, it was truly to when Saul was supposed to do it and he didn't, all of those lines are still here.
Sure.
And then you see things like Nazi Germany, because you see like in anti-Semitism, incredible irrational hatred.
Sure.
Right? Yes. And so, yeah, those kind of things I do find very interesting and wonder, like, what would have happened if Saul had obeyed God?
Right.
And what would have ended there that continued on?
Well, that's the big question, too. Right. What if sin never entered into this world?
Right.
And so it's, what we would it's, be like it's if kind we, of the never-ending question.
Yeah, if we'd walk, if we continue to walk. Yeah. I one day was reading in Genesis 1 and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you can summarize that in one word, I think the word is shame. I think what God was trying to keep us from is shame.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm thankful for books like Esther that just remind us that God is not looking for perfect people. He is inviting you and me in our ordinary mess.
Yep.
And he just takes that mess and he uses it for his good and for his kingdom. And that was the blessing of yesterday, to see the few years I had with the little kid from mm-hmm. Bethany, and that he grew up mm-hmm. and he's doing something. But the most important thing he's doing is actually his time in the back mm-hmm. where he's an example yes. for others. And we're already seeing that yep. in just a couple of years. We're seeing others absolutely. Who are stepping into his footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you had some thoughts on the upside down kingdom of God, which you've been sharing. Mm. So I want to give you this last space without a real question. But sure. other than, is there anything else that hit the cutting room floor or anything else you want to talk about or leave people with,
yeah.
including and not limited to the upside down kingdom
of God? Yeah, so much hit the cutting room floor because I couldn't see anything I'd written. So, yeah.
That's fair.
But I think if I would have been able to see what I wrote mm-hmm. about Luke 6, I think mm-hmm. The Sermon on the Mount just shows us what the upside down kingdom of God looks like.
Okay.
And so I mm-hmm. compared it to if someone was putting together, you know, a tapestry. I thought really about when I was a kid and this little rug art we would do. And mm-hmm. one side would be very ugly and one side would have a picture.
Yeah.
And God is doing something that we don't understand. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it often in an upside down way. And yeah. so it's not that when you are following God and doing everything he says, all of a sudden life is good.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had a family meeting yesterday. And I love that John Hughes, one of our elders, ended it with, yeah, when you're doing things that are hard, don't think that that's not where God is.
Right.
And so that's what I think the most important thing of Esther is even in the middle of the mess, even when mm-hmm. life is hard, God is there.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I hope people remember from yesterday.
Great. Beautiful. Well, thank you, Kelly.
Thanks for
thank
having
you
me.
For sharing.
I won't see you for a few months, but it's been fun.
A few months. Well, hopefully we'll get some more airtime sooner
right.
than that.
But thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.